Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Gimel, and we're holding right after the first few words at Omar Ula. So yesterday we were zeiche to go through at least the first group of treifas. As I say, we really have 70 altogether, and we've only done the first 18 in the Mishnah, and we've done Shev Shmeitza, and we've done Basjar, and today we're going to see how we can classify these into different sets and make it even clearer than we had yesterday. So as Ula points out, there are 8 different sets of treifas, 8 different types of treifas, Shmona Mine treifas, Damru Lo Lemoshe Misinai. So these are Nekuva, okay, we've already done the Nikuvot, there as something that has just a hole. That means nothing is missing. And there's just a hole through whatever it is. And we'll go through them afterwards once again. And we have the Psuka, where there's a slit. We have where something is missing, Netula. We have, Netula means totally missing, removed entirely. Chasura is missing. Krua is torn. Drusa is something that was clawed. So we had the Drusata Zev, and we had the Drusata Ari, and the Nifula. Well, we had only one case of Nifula, but still it's a totally different category. And we called that Risuk Evarim, if you remember. And we had, the last case was the Shivura. So we have to go through all of these, and we'll work them out as we go along. Plus, now we have to remember that we've also got one other that we had yesterday, and it seems to be missing here. And what was that other? That was Rochish Bar Papa, who said that if there is a lakuta, so lakuta, we said some type of disease in which the tissue of the kidney is being eaten away, and it reaches all the way to the groove in the kidney, and that was a treifa, but Ula didn't list another 9th category, which was Lakuta. And the Gemara points out that there's a reason he didn't list it, is because he disagrees. Lafuke Lakuta de Rochish Bar Papa. So Ula did not want to list Dafka Rochish Bar Papa's case, and according to him, there's only 8 cases. 8 overall types of cases. Now, let's take a look at these various categories. So, Omar Chia Barav, the truth is, if you just take a look at that one opening, Nikuva. So, Nikuva means we've got a puncture hole, and there's 8 different treifas in that puncture hole. Remember that we had yesterday, we had the Nikuva Saveshet, and we had the Nikuva of the cranial membrane, the Krum Shel Moach, we had the Nikuva of the lave, we had the Nikuva of the rea. We had the Nekuva Takiva, we had the Nekuva Tadakin, we had the Nekuva of the Keres Hapnimid, we had Hemses Ubeta Kosot, which we're currently counting as one, we said before, and those are the 8 Nekuvot. But there's definitely one missing over here. Well, sure enough, there is. Im Tomar Teisha, if you're going to say, well, hold on a second, there's actually 9. Now, I'm sure you're thinking there's really 10, but we'll get to that. If you're going to say there's 9, and that was the gallbladder, remember? But that was only Adas Yochid. We're going to see later on in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is the one, Katerina, he is the one that said Nekuvas Hamora, and that's why we have also, in our count, we have the additional one. That's 9. Because if you take a look in the Braisa, you'll see the list, Nikva HaKeva, Nikva HaDakin Trefa, and Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says, Af, Nikva HaMara. So therefore, we want to say over here that there could be, sure enough, there could be 8, there could be 9. Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that particular Shita. There is, however, the Das that we had before, and that's the Das of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Rabbi Yosef. This was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef actually says that Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan, We actually do Paskin, like Rabbi Yossi Ber Yehuda, and we do have an additional treifa of Nikuvas Hamara. So once we're going to talk about Rabbi Yitzchak Ber Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, we want to bring all of the various Ma'amorim that he said together. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Ber Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, actually we do Paskin, like Rabbi Yossi Ber Yehuda, and the Nikuvas Hamara is a significant Nikuva. And there's another thing that Rabbi Yitzchak Ber Yosef Omer Rabbi Yochanan said. When he actually describes the whole discussion that we have between the Chaverim of Rabbi Yossi Ber Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi Ber Yehuda, what was the argument? It says Beferish in Eov that a hole in the gallbladder is not considered to be a treifa. How is that? Because Eov said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yishpoch la'oretz mararasi, he pours my gallbladder out to the ground, and he obviously continued to live just fine, Eov, v'adayin Eov kayam, and so there was obviously a pretty big hole in his gallbladder, and remember, he wasn't allowed to be killed, so how do you explain that? Said Rabbi Yossi Ber Yehuda, what kind of silly question is that? This whole thing is an insane miracle. Emas kirin maase nisim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Sultan, and the Gemara says, but the job of the Sultan was even harder than what Eov was going through. He had to hold Eov together under any of these circumstances. The Elote Mahachi, look, I mean, there's other things. It says, Yifalach kil yotai velo yachumo. He split my kidneys into different pieces. And we said, according to Rosh Bar Papa, that if it's Yiflach Kil Yotai, they're falling apart and they're completely diseased. So how is he surviving? At least according to Rosh Bar Papa. So, must be Nisa Shaini. Dichtiv, and this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Satan. Okay, you can do what you want to him on one condition. Ach, et nafsho shemor, you're going to have to keep him alive. So I don't know how you're going to manage that with all of these things you're doing, but maybe we'll have some very important medical breakthroughs from the Satan. And therefore, Ochanami, Nisa Shine. Okay, the third thing that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Rabbi Yosef Omar Rabbi Yochanan, also Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Kizayin. Now remember that we said that if the Kaved, if the liver has been taken out, nothing is left of that liver. So then it's considered to be a treifa. But any little bit of the liver would be able to regenerate. That's what we learned yesterday. However, there's the Mishnah later on that says it differently. And there it says not l'nishtayer menu klum, but when we have the opposite Mishnah, which is the list of those things that are not treifas, you would think of treifas, it says over there, a kaved that is nishtayer hemenu kizayit. Doesn't say klum, any little bit. It needs to have a minimal kizayit here. And in fact, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, like the Mishnah, that says, Halacha kedivrei ha'omer kizayit, and not any little bit of liver can regenerate, but dafka kizayit of liver would regenerate. So that would be Halacha, like, according to Rabbi Yochanan, like a different Mishnah, not like our Mishnah. But the question is, didn't Rabbi Yochanan always paskin like a Stam Mishnah? V'om Rabbi Yochanan halachak is Stam Mishnah, and that's all over the place. And therefore, since this Mishnah over here is Stama, then it must be that there was a reason that he didn't paskin like it. Now, this is not so partial, because the Mishnah later on is also Stama. So thank you, Alon. The Mishnah later on is also Stama. But Lamaisa, what the Gemara is actually asking is that the din ought to be that if there's no reason why Maishna high stomach, the high stomach, why would he pass like one stomach over the other? So that's really included in the Gemara's question. We just didn't go through what oftentimes the Gemara does. So, and there it says, Nitra Hakav Eden Armish, that says, Lonish Dire Meno Kulum, Marshalanish Dire Meno Kizai, even Kulum, it's Kshera Favre the Loami Kizai. True, but remember, there's a machlokas that we've had many times of Amoroyim Aliba, the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Does he indeed always pass him like a Stam Mishnah, or not necessarily? Another thing that Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef said, Hashem Rabbi Yochanan. Is the Amr of Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, Amr of Yochanan, Marashe Nikva, Rikavetzo Tama Kishera. Even though I just passed him that if there's a hole in the gallbladder, Rabbanea, yes, seem to have some trouble staying awake in these exciting sugyas. So if, or you're just thinking, of course. Barnea has perfected the good old thinking look. Okay, so even though we said that a gallbladder with a hole in it is considered to be trefa, remember the gallbladder is right up against the liver. If that hole is up against the liver and the liver seals it so that there's actually no leakage from that hole, then that is not considered to be a trefa. And if the kaved is sotamta, then it's kishera. And the fifth thing was, V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. There's another thing that is something like that, which is the kurkavan. Now, the kurkavan is actually the gizzard, I think they call it in English, right? And the bird, I think so. So if the kurkavan had a hole in it, it's extremely muscular organ which enables a bird to actually grind seeds and so on. So if it was had a hole in it, but the inside of it, it's very, you've seen kurkavans, I'm sure, right? You see chicken kurkavans all the time. Those, they're very, very thick. I think they still, maybe not, I don't know, but they used to always give the gizzard, where do they still do that? Or they take out the kurkavan? All
Depends
right,
on
but
the company. Some of them don't want to deal with the trefa, so they just wipe out the innards and get rid of them. Others take the time.
okay, but I'm sure you've all seen the kurkavan. It's sort of a flattened, round object, very, very thick muscles. You can barely even see the area inside. It looks just almost like a solid piece. Now, it has two separate thick membranes on it. So you've got the outside, which is a large muscle. And then you also have the inside of it. Oh, you buy bags of them. Wow. Okay. And you also have the inside membrane. And if you don't have a hole that goes through the whole thing, then if it just was a puncture from the outside, but the inside is still whole and the membrane protects the inside of it so that nothing is leaking out, so then it is not a trefa. How about the other way around, asks the Gemara Yibayla. How about if there was a hole in the membrane, but the muscle was whole, was complete? So, nikev akis v'kurkavan kayam mai. Well, take a look at this maamar of Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman said, "Benogea, these two things. That is, if there's a hole that goes through the muscle, and there's also a hole that goes through the membrane, if it's zeh below zeh, it's kosher. If you only have a hole in one and not in the other, then that would mean that there's not any leakage from the kurkavan, in which case it's still a functional organism and it's not a trefa. And we have an interesting similar halacha." Legabe the veshet. Omar Rabba. We've already seen before, if you recall, where Rabba was very proud of his son, you know, and we talked about how would I do a bedikah on the inside of the veshet? So you remember we had over there that there are actually shnei orot yesh on the veshet. There's two different layers of tissue. The outside of the veshet is typically red. And the inside of the veshet, the covering of the actual lumen of the veshet, is white. And if there was a hole, nikev zeh below zeh, if there's a hole through one and not through the other, that's not called nikev haveshet. Nikev haveshet would go to, bo to through both of them. By the way, why did you mention, I mean, is it the important point just that there are two separate layers? I mean, why? Who cares what color one is the other? Ah. Well, we know that. Well, if it was actually reversed, then that would be a mutation that itself would be a trefa, because then neither of them are there. And that's like the ultimate negev, the cholif trefa. So if it would actually be a mutant, then it would not be kosher. Now, here the question is, what would be the din in these cases? If there were a nekev that would go through just one of the layers, let's say in the kurkavan. So you have one muscle, the muscle is cut through in one place, and then the membrane that surrounds the inside is punctured, but in a completely different place. They don't line up. So how about if nikvush neem ze shaloka neged ze? Either in the case of the kurkavan, which we were talking about, or in the case of the veshet, which we also were talking about, what would be the din? In the veshet, it would be kosher, but in the kurkavan, it would be pasul. Matki floravashi. Does it make more sense to say it in the other way? I mean, adrabah. The veshet is constantly in a lot of movement, because remember that the veshet and the kana are up against each other. If one moves, the other moves. The kana is constantly moving. And even if the animal isn't eating at that point, the veshet is moving with it. And every time that kana moves, and every time that veshet swallows or is being pulled up or down, it's possible that the two holes are going to align. Because they don't remember. I mean, all of this is very elastic tissue, obviously. And if we're worried about an alignment of the holes, then the veshet would be more of a problem. So a veshet, the ochlape, the veshet, which is used for eating. And since it's right up against the kana, it's also pa'ayabe. Every time that the animal makes a sound, it's also going to be pulling the veshet with it. So then that means ravach gamdale or pashtale. So it's always either expanding, contracting. It's basically constantly being stretched in a way that zimnin de mehandazin ba'adi adadi. There's often times that these two holes will end up one against the other. And therefore, it should be a trefa. Mashenke, the kurkavan remains in place. And menach nayach, so whatever it was, kidikoikoi, if there wasn't a hole aligned in the beginning, what's going to make it be aligned later on? Omele revacha bered of Yosef revashi, ochi amrina mishmeda marzutra, the omer mishmeda of papa kavasech. Actually, what you said makes a lot of sense. And the truth is that Marzutra said what you said, that Rav Papa said what you said, that Dafka in the Veshet, it's trefa because of the probability that the holes will align at one point or another. Mashen king, in the Kurkavan, it would be kosher. Another thing that we learn from Rabba, once we're talking about Rabba and the dinim of the Kana, another thing that we learn is that a krum sha'alam achmat makab veshet eno krum. Let's say that there was a damage to the veshet, and there was a hole in the veshet, and then a scab and tissue grew over the area where the hole was. That is not considered to be a actual closing of the hole, and it does not survive. That's not called a krum that would actually fix the problem. The Omar Rabba, as we saw earlier, veshet ein lo bedika mibachutz ela mibifnim. You cannot check a veshet for a problem of discoloration that you'd have to see, let's say where we had a case. And that there was we're going to see a lot of cases like this where we have a chazoka that there must have been an attack by another animal on this behema that we want to eat. And we'll see what the simonim are. There's simonim where the animals are making sounds, and there's a lion nearby, and there's a lot of roaring. And so, okay, well, the cases are interesting cases, we'll see. But They're also very no gay at Kruger Park. These cases, what is the simonim that you got to worry about a lion? So those of you who are still in Kruger will hopefully be getting up to there soon. And anyway, so if you have one of these chashashas, now you have to worry, how can you check for a, remember that you don't need to have any kind of actual damage. We said that all of the special dinim of the concept of a treifa, in which you have an animal that is attacked, actually doesn't need to damage any of the organs because, as the Gemara puts it, there's a ziara, which we said is a vast array of pathogens of all different types that affect those particular animals, particularly a wolf. You look this up on the internet, it's frightening, the type of things that are in a wolf's claws if you're clawed by a wolf. And because of that, we need to actually be able to see not if there was a clear-cut damage, but if there's reddening that is connected one of these places that would be a trefa, then that would mean that it was actually attacked. So the question is, where would I be able to see that reddening? L'may nafkamina, it would be nogea drisa. If I have a suffix, which is based on some serious evidence that there was a lion loose in here and that the animals were being attacked, so then that's called a suffix drusa, and we need to check for a reddening of the area. But since it's anyway red, you can't be bedek for reddening. That would only be seen on the white area. And that's what we said. You can't check it mi bachutz. You can only check it mi bifnim. Alon, did you have something you're raising your hand for?
Is dafka from claws or is it also from biting? Because I know from dog bites, if you don't treat it, the wound, it does not heal.
No, this is only for claws. Stalach lemeshem Sinai. And remember, we're going to see later on that things, medical evidence is not acceptable for treifas. And basically, as Tosis puts it in many places, there's a constant evolutionary changes, very, very gradual evolutionary changes that make things extremely different in different times, which is why things that were very useful in one period for medical purposes are a joke in another period. And as we know, I mean, look, I love the way that Harriet always describes all of these thousands of medications that he had to learn, and he had to know the exact dosage, and he had to know the exact history of the, and years of study. And as he puts it, as little did we know that they were all totally useless and that nobody's going to ever hear of them again. Amazing. Like once the antibiotics came out, like, what is this garbage? This doesn't do anything. But this was basically the way that things were treated. Like, how is that possible? And so, as I mentioned to you, the Chassidish explains that all of the inyanim in the Torah, he understands this to be part of the concept of Alpayim Torah. Alpayim Torah means that those 2,000 years are the definitions of what is considered to be something Alpia Torah. So we have many examples of this in the Gemara. For instance, speciation. So let's say the Torah says you're supposed to take an Azov, right? For various dinim, you need the Azov. What's an Azov? There are hundreds of different types of Azov. The point is, says the Gemara, only those species that were recognized as subspecies of Azov at the time of Har Sinai are considered to be non-kosher Azovs because they have a Shem Levi. So they have that second lineage name. But whatever was at the time of Kabbalah Satera, there was insufficient understanding of the differentiation, or they had not yet differentiated these meaning, then the fact that they differentiate later does not change the halacha, because it's only kavua according to the time that it was at the time of Kabbalah Zatera. And the same thing is true of these trefas. They don't necessarily reflect issues that are recognized medically, although obviously most of the things that we spoke about are, and therefore as the Gemara puts it later, when somebody wants to say, well, we know that it always dies from this. What do you think? You could just add medical evidence. So even though Alon has got a lot of experience with dogs as big as horses, and they might bite them, but it's not going to be Nogia.
Or rather get bitten.
It's not going to be Nogia these days. There was a case of a Suffolk Drusa, and Rava was checking the Veshet from the outside of the Veshet where it wouldn't have been noticeable. Omale Abaye, but Rebbe, didn't you say yourself, Amar Hudiyoma Veshet Ein Lo Bedikah Mibachutz Ela Mibifnim? So then Rava took the Veshet and he turned it inside out, Ve'afche. And sure enough, he found he noted that there were two spots that looked like blood spots on the lumen of the veshet, and he made it trefa. And the truth is, he had only started checking it mibachutz, not because he made a mistake, but because he wanted to see if he could catch Abaye and make sure that Abaye would say, hey, Rebbe, what's going on? And sure enough, Abaye was on the ball. Omar Ula, Yashav lo kotz beveshet, in choshashin shema hivri. So let's say that an animal was eating thorns, and a thorn actually became stuck into the veshet itself, and it was inside of the white part. But there was no simen whatsoever that it had gone beyond that. There's no blood either on the inside. You don't have to worry, says Ula, that maybe it actually caused a trephis and it went already through and you don't see any simen because maybe it already, Shema Hivri, maybe it grew like a little piece of tissue over it. And we said before that if there was a hole, it doesn't help that you should have any kind of tissue over it. It's Enochrum. We just learned that. So Tainas Ula, you don't have to assume that there is any esophag here, because as we'll see later on, animals eat thorns, and the esophagus is made in such a way as to resist any type of trephis that are going to come from thorns. And the fact that a thorn becomes stuck inside tissue doesn't mean that it penetrates it. And because of that, you don't have to even worry about it. Rashi has a different lushan that it could be Shema Hivri doesn't mean maybe it was a hole and then it got a groom over it and it got better. Shema Hivri, Rashi points out, is used also, the word Hivri is also means to puncture. The word itself, Hivri, means to puncture. And he says that that's what he was actually taught. It says in Yechezkel, and this is special for Moshe David, if he's here, he just finished learning Yechezkel together with Elisha. I think Moshe David, you're not here. Why am I saying good things about you then? Anyway, Mikey, you can tell him that they just finished Yechezkel. And there it says, Uvarautam b'charvotam, which means that they punctured them with their swords. So the word Hivri may actually mean the opposite. You don't have to worry. Maybe it was punctured. Mikey, we're going to miss my, we're going to miss Seder. Faye, as you can see, I'm in the wrong place. We'll talk about it. Okay. Next. Ask the Gemara, how could Ula say that you don't have to worry? Why is this different than a Suffolk Drusa? We've got all of this business of lions that are making noise and animals that seem to be running from lions. And we said that's a major chashash. We have to be bedek. I mean, and if you find a thorn embedded in the inside of the esophagus, isn't that as bad as a Suffolk Drusa? Well, actually, what's interesting is that Ula holds Ein Choshishin L'Sofik Drusa. In the cases that we bring up, where we don't have any basis for it, in other than, we'll see later on what the cases are, we don't really need. So he's being very consistent between the case of the Sofik Nukuvas HaKotz and in the Sofik Drusa, it's exactly the same thing. Okay, but I mean, come on, Ula, there's a D'oraisa. I mean, what about the din of an Oshem Tolui? an ashram toli, if you've got, let's say, shtei chatichot, right? So you've got one piece of chelev and one piece of shuman, and the Torah says you have to bring a korban. I mean, so how can you say that we don't worry about cases like that? Of course we have to worry about cases. So mashnam shtei chatichot, achat shel chelev, v'achat shel shuman. Now, what's the comparison? Hatam itchazek isura. Remember, over there, if you have, and you know that there was one piece of chelev that was there, so that means that the isur was already mechuzak, that it exists there. Masha Inkein, here you're trying to establish there is an isur because maybe something caused the isur. There's no comparison between those cases. Why should I think that something caused the isur? So that's nothing. Okay, how about the case we had about a sakin? You shechted with the sakin, and then you take a look at the sakin, and you find out that it has a pegima in the sakin, right? So before the shechita, we didn't see anything that would have made us think that there was something that hurt him. Okay, but also over there, you have an actual reisa in the sakin itself, which is that which is in touch with the behemoth and has to be moderate. So obviously we're going to keep it on its cheskas iser. We don't know when that sakin became paguma. But all Ula's trying to say is that since we don't have any direct evidence and anything that had to do with the organism itself or something that clearly would have affected the organism like the sakin, we're not going to be choshesh. Well, what about a safik tumah brushas hayachid? Over there, sveiko is tame, and you don't have any clear-cut indication. You're going to be chayshish about this safik tame. Maybe you actually came into contact with somebody. You know, you see a dead sheretz in the street where you were walking. I mean, we're over there. You don't have a direct reisa, and nonetheless, the halacha is that sveiko tame. So I don't get it. Why isn't Lula concerned that the same issue when it comes to Treifas with the question of a Suffolk Nikuvas HaKotz? That is a really weird question, isn't it? I mean, if you're asking why is it different than a Suffolk Tumah Brishus HaYochid, why don't you say, why is it different than a Suffolk Tumah Brishus HaRabim, which is Sveto Tahar? So obviously you know the answer to this. The dinim of Suffolk Tumah Brishus HaYochid, Brishus HaRabim, those are Hilchot HaGemira Lami Sotan. That's a special halacha that we learn out of Sotan. It has nothing to do with the standard way in which we paskin a Suffolk. So there's certainly no question. Anyway, one of the Talmidim was in front of Rav Kahana, and he was medayek in the Lashon, that the Lashon was nimtzeit kotz, that if a kotz was found, and therefore, it doesn't mean if the kotz actually was stuck in the inside of the veshet. It just means that you opened up the animal and it had been eating kotzim. We find a kotz in the veshet, so we have to be chashish that it was actually stuck there. Amarlu Rav Kahana said to all of the Talmidim in the shir, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain over here. It means yashav. Of course it means that it actually got stuck. Because nimtzeis is ridiculous. What? I need Ula to tell me that if there's a kotz, animals eat thorns all the time. So you say, anytime there happens to be a thorn left, my gosh. I mean, what is Eeyore going to think about this? That there's constantly problems of eating kotzim? So clearly, any type of animals that live outdoors and they're not being fed in barns, they're all going to be munching on some kotzim. There's never any problem of that. And of course, you're going to find some from time to time inside of the veshet. Okay, so that closes the elements that we just learned about the sveikas of the veshet. But the truth is, we really have not defined the area of the veshet. Because what we were talking about before when we were dealing with Hagrama, we had all those different shitas of up to what point, to the kova, shipui kova, maybe even the tapat hagdola. Those are all aspects of kana, not veshet. Because from the beginning of the Sugev the Hagroma in the Tabat HaGdolah, the Tabat HaGdolah is mamish part of the Kanan. It doesn't make any sense, Bichlal, to be considering Hagroma on the Veshet in things like the Tabat HaGdolah, or, therefore, even the Shibui Kova. So what we have, Benogea, the Veshet is actually an area that is a hardened extension of the Veshet itself, where instead of the soft and elastic material, it hardens into a area that is called the Turbat HaVeshet. The Turbat is like a chatzer, like an opening into a courtyard, into a pretty type of building. And it's called the Turbat HaVeshet. So the Turbat HaVeshet would be the area in which the Veshet itself is no longer elastic and it becomes hard tissue, and that's where it now is part of the jaw. And at that point, the question is that considered to be a part of the Veshet, or is that considered to be outside of the Veshet? Rav says the whole Turbat HaVeshet is all part of the Veshet. And therefore, if there's any type of hole there, it's, first of all, it's a mokum of Veshet, and therefore it's kosher for Shkita. And because of that, if there's any type of hole in it, so then it's going to make it a treifa. Whereas Shmuel says, no. Once it's the Turbat HaVeshet, then it's not considered to be the same as the Nekuva, and there it would become as if it's part of the Kana, and it goes only according to Rov. So if most of it was the same thing as the Kana, if most of it was a Psuka, so then it would be a Trefa. Rav Amar Bim Ashu, because Rav holds, it's a continuation of the Veshet itself, and it's actually kosher for Shechita. So since it's a Mokum Shechita, because of that, so according to Rav, that means that there's no din of Hagroma at all. As Rashi points out, there is no such thing as agrama when it comes to the Veshet. There's only agrama when it comes to the Kana. And that makes sense because of the simonim that we were given earlier for the areas of agrama. They were all elements that had to do with the respiratory system. So the Turbat HaVeshet, which is part of the area in which swallowing would take place, that is considered to be part of the Veshet, even though it's hard and stiff. And because of that, if it's kosher l'shchita, so then it's also a mokum that's going to be sensitive to treifets for the same reason. Where Shmuel holds berubo, because he says it's lav mokum shchita, it's no longer veshet, doesn't have a din of the veshet, and therefore now it's part of the overall area of the kana that we were talking about before, the end of the jaw, at which point the Kana and the Veshet, after that, they separate. I knew Turbat HaVeshet, so tell me precisely, can you tell me, like, where exactly are we called the Turbat HaVeshet versus the Veshet, which, of course, is only important for Shmuel. I mean, according to Rav, there doesn't need to be any clear-cut definition of a point because there's no tipping point. According to Rav, the whole thing is the same thing, so I don't really care. It's just like a, you know, it would be just a curiosity. According to Shmuel, it's an actual question of halacha, because the Turbat HaVeshet is not going to be kosher l'shchita. And furthermore, according to Shmuel, a Turbat HaVeshet will not become a treifa if it has a hole in it. So according to Shmuel, what point is it called the Turbat HaVeshet, and at what point does it start to be an actual veshet, which would be pasul even with a mashal? Omar Mori Mar Baruch Vama Shmuel, when you cut the esophagus, what happens is that it folds in and it does not pull out. It doesn't open. So the area that you're cut and doesn't fold inwards, remember the esophagus is very difficult to work with in any way. And it, if you do cut it, then it just folds inward. That area is esophagus, but the area which it stays that way, or it expands, so the area in which it actually becomes wider, there it's called Turbat HaVeshet. If you cut it, even if it's above the place where it's going to contract into itself. So if it's Chotkovo, Omed B'Mekomo, once it's Omed B'Mekomo, then that is part of the Veshet, even though obviously that's a little bit of a transition between the Turbetz HaVeshet and the Veshet itself, and it doesn't actually fold in, but if it just stays the same, then it's considered to be the Veshet. Amarlo Rav Papi, well, I could tell you that my Rebbe didn't say that. Marlo Amar Hachi, who is he referring to? He's referring to Rav Bivi Bar Abaye. And Rav Bivi Bar Abaye said, the way to determine what is Turbetz HaVeshet and what is Veshet is kosher for Tchov Elmeid B'Mekomo Zeh Turbetz HaVeshet. So according to him, what we saw before was a transition between Turbetz HaVeshet and Veshet and had a din of Veshet al Libet Shmuel. His Rebbe told him, no, that is actually still Turbetz HaVeshet. And Ezur Veshet Atzmo, it has to be Shochto or Chotcho and Chavitz. It has to actually retract and fold in. There it's Veshet. But if it stays in one place, that is still Turbetz HaVeshet. Now, this next piece is a very strange piece because there's different ways in which to learn it. And actually, the Shulchan Aruch understands it, that it's to be read like this. Yona, what's the din of a bird, a yona? Omar Zera, it's the Mavlata. So what is the Turbetz HaVeshet of a small bird? It's the place where right at the top of the Veshet is exactly where it swallows. The Chama, and how long is that? Omar of Avia, it's less than a grain of barley, but it's bigger than a grain of wheat. Now, the way everybody else learns it is this is the name of a Talmud Chacham. Yonah says in the name of Zerah that the area of the Turbetz HaVeshet, not of birds, is this Mavlata, which is obviously leads to completely different kulas here. Now, who Torah? Tahave Livne Rav Ukva. So the children of Rav Ukva, they had this shore, and they had started doing the Shechita in the Turbetz HaVeshet, and then it went down. So this was like a hagroma done to the Veshet, which began in the Turbetz HaVeshet and then concluded at an angle in the Veshet itself. So Rava said, Omar Rava, well, I'm going to make this a big problem because I'm going to put the Chumras of Rav on it and the Chumras of Shmuel together, and that way it's going to become a treifa, even though whether you hold like Rav or whether you hold like Shmuel, it should be perfectly kosher, right? Because if you hold like Rav, you shechted it, because the Turbetz HaVeshet is a Mokum Shechita. And if you hold like Shmuel, it doesn't become a treifa, even if you cut a little bit of it, because you would have to have a psuka of Ruba. So they're both kosher. Comes along Rav and says, yeah, well, I'm going to mess him up big time. I'm going to paskin like a mixture of both Rav and Shmuel. I'll say, let's go with the chumras of Rav. Rav says, a mashu, a hole is a treifa. You'll say, what do you mean? But it's not a hole, it's a makom shechita. It's part of shechita, and every shechita cuts through areas that would be, of course, a treifa. Cut through the regular veshet, you're making a treifa. That's part of shechita. True, but according to Shmuel, Shmuel says it's not a Mokum Shechita. So for that, I'll be machmer like Shmuel, who says it's not a Mokum Shechita. Yeah, but so what? Even if it's going like Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say it's only going to become a treifa if it was Nifsika Baruba? And over here, you just cut a little tiny bit before you got into the Mokum of the Veshet itself? But Rav said it's B'mashu. Anyway. Igalgo Milta Matoy Lakamida Rabbi Abba. So this story came to in front of Rabbi Abba. And he said, what kind of business is this? Torah Bain La Rav Bain La Shmuel Shari. What's the difference? No matter who you're going to ask, they'll both tell you that this is a perfect kosher shor. This is outrageous. Zilu Amri Le Levrei the Rav Yossi Bar Chama. You go tell Rav Yossi Bar Chama's son. And that was Rava. He better take out his wallet and pay through the nose. L'shalom d'mei tura l'more. He's got to pay for this shor, because he told him to throw out the shor, and it was a perfectly good shor based on nonsense. You can't be machmer like two shitas if both of them hold that it's kosher. Omar Mabar Eder Avina. I mean, it sounds like scandalous psak. I mean, this is Das Teira spelled with an olive, right? Which may be much of Das Teira. Okay. So this is Das Torah, which doesn't make sense at all. What are you paskening? Like, too contradictory. I mean, I don't even want to say this, says Marbarei Ravina, but, you know, if, I mean, Chas v'Sholem, I shouldn't be saying about Rava, but Motivna Tiyuvta Klapi Sanye de Rava, I mean, this is really meant for Rava's enemies, but this is a euphemism, I mean, because it's really an attack on Rava. We know that we were taught, Le'olam Ilchasa Kedivrei Beit Hillel. All right, so somebody wants to be Machmer. All right, so La'asayis Kedivrei Beit Shammai, Oysa. Kedivrei Beit Hillel, Oysa. If he wants to paskin like the kulais of Beit Shammai and the kulais of Beit Hillel, this guy is a Rasha. And if he wants to be machmer, mechumre Beit Shammai, mechumre Beit Hillel, and put it together in the same sugya, Allah v'katuv omer aksil b'choshech alech, fools walk in darkness. What do you need to put together two chumras if neither of them hold that you should be machmer? So, Ike Beit Shammai, you have to do kekuleihem v'kechamureihem. Ike Beit Hillel, kekuleihem v'kechamureihem. You can't have something that is contradictory in the same sock and take on both when they're mamish contradictions. And this is exactly what Rava did over here. Wait. I don't understand what you're talking about. You just contradicted yourself. How does this brayta make sense? Amrit, you said, lo'olam alocha kedivrei Beit Hillel. And then you say, but if you want, harotze lasot kedivrei Beit Shammai yaseh. So how do you have a right? I mean, we have all kinds of stories in which you know, we have in the Mishnah. Why did you try to be doing like Beit Shammai? And it's you deserve to be punished. I mean, how can we say you can just do like Beit Shammai if you want to? Remember how the Mesil Sharim says that the Inyan of the Machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel was such a disaster for Klal Yisrael, in which the whole Klal Yisrael was being torn into two completely different approaches to Torah. And when they passed the Halachas Kedivrei Beit Hillel, it actually became a pigam in the Shlemus HaTorah to do like Beit Shammai. So how can you say, HaRotze LaAsot Kedivrei Beit Shammai Yaaseh? Well, that's not a problem. Remember, there was a whole story. Lokasha Khan Kodem Bat Kol. So you remember the Maisa Nerevin, where Bas Kol was Yotze Min HaShemayim, that the Halacha is a Kibbeit Hillel. So here where it says that it's always like Beit Hillel, that's after we heard that Bat Kol. And there it was before the Bat Kol. So you could do whichever one you want, as long as you don't make a fool of yourself by doing contradictory things. Or, you know what? It could be Yibayte Ma'afla Achra Bat Kol. Could be that you can go even after the Bat Kol, Bein L'Beit Shammai, Bein L'Beit Hillel. Because according to Rabbi Yeshua, Bat Kols don't mean anything. We say to Bat Kols, mind your own business. The Torah is not B'Shamayim. The Torah was given to us, the Paskin, and therefore we pay no attention to Bat Kols. Okay, so maybe the part that said, Halacha Kedivrei Beit Hillel, that was going according to the Tanakhama, not like Rabbi Yeshua, who says that we take a look at this Bat Kol and take it seriously. Anyway, but whatever we're going to say, what in the world was Rava thinking? Mikoma Konkasha, Omer of Tavais. The truth is, Rava was really paskening like Rav, 100%. Kula Karav Avta. And the reason that Rava did it this way is because he did not believe the way that everybody learned Rav. And this would have been very insulting to say straight out. But Lamaisa, when Rami Bar Yecheskel came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, pay no attention to all of these things that Yehuda Achi says over Mishmei de Rav. So Rami Bar Yecheskel was Rav Yehuda's brother. And he's saying, look, he misquotes things. You know, my brother, he always misquotes things, and don't listen to him. So the things that he says in the name of Rav, that's not correct. I'll tell you what it is that Rav said. He said the Veshat Natnu Bo Chachamim Shiur. Actually, you can't shecht wherever you want in the Veshet, and Michlal the Turbetz HaVeshet Lav Mokom Shchita. If the Turbetz HaVeshet was included in a Mokom Shchita, then there wasn't any Shiur. So what are you telling me? The Veshet, the Chachamim gave a Shiur. So obviously, if that were the case, then he doesn't talk to Mokom Shchita. And nonetheless, his limud that Rav said that Turbetz HaVeshet, the whole thing is a treifa, does have not have anything to do with what it was that Yehuda, my brother, said. He said that the two issues are connected. The Turbetz HaVeshet being a Mokom Shchita means that it's B'mashu. But that's not true. Rav said two separate dinim. The Turbetz HaVeshet is B'mashu. I legabe the Mokom Shchita. The Chachamim gave a limit for the Mokom Shchita. So then that means when Rav said that the Shchita was an act of Tarfus, he was going, I'll leave it to Rav. And you can't ask on him, I Vahama Rav Makam Shrita, because he doesn't say that it's a Makam Shrita. Okay, we'll have to continue exactly what the Shir is, Bezrat Hashem.